brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds, suds, suds. It's time for more suds.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. She really is.
No, I really.
She can't hide it.
I can't.
Your mother was a hamster and your father smelt of elderberries.
How did you know that?
That was a bootleg. That was a bootleg sound effect. Okay. That was not official. There you go.
But I dug it nevertheless.
It was excellent. I'm going to taunt you a second time.
Welcome, everyone, to another Sud segment where really good beer meets really bad radio. And I'm so excited. Okay.
She can't hide it.
I am good old gal Juliana, who's like, I'm busting at the seams over this episode.
I'm just drawn that way.
Jessica Rabbit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
That is bad. I'm just drawn that way.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, Corey used to say that.
He might like me after all.
Yeah.
No. Okay, probably not. thank you. With me at the table today is good old boy Dave.
A man-child crying out for love, an innocent orphan in the postmodern world.
Yeah. All of that. All of that. Finally.
Where does it come from?
Truth and radio here.
Inside. Deep inside.
Not fake news.
Yeah. Good old boy Kendall, bring me back to reality.
I'm so happy to be here drinking this beer from one of my favorite cities.
Yeah. Okay, well, I can. Anyways, good old boy Caperton.
Yay,
hello. And Reverend Mark.
A sexually depraved miscreant who is seeking only to gratify his basest and most immediate urges.
And that's why I'm here to confess that.
He is.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, deep end
of the pool, right as we start.
That's pretty great.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. We're so happy to have you back at the table.
This is the table.
Right. Yes. Today's show is a brewery takeover. Sorry, I'm just so excited.
She is.
Strange Roots Experimental Ales in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Go Bucks.
Roots.
Wow. Okay. Although I may have issues with the city because it's the other end of the state of which I come from.
The best end.
Oh, Jesus. the bungie end.
The visual daggers are flying back and forth across the.
You are poking the bear there, buddy.
I'm a big Western PA guy.
Kendall's a bear poker from way back.
She is.
Folks, I am East Side, and I am darn proud of my East Sideness. But anyways, despite being on the wrong side of the state, Strange Roots is doing some absolutely fabulously beautiful stuff.
Yeah.
Which we will get to in a minute. But before we get to that, this Sud segment is brought to you by
the Law Offices of Scratchers J. Scratcherton. Are you a kitty or a puppy who identifies as kitty? Do you need an attorney? Come on down to the Law Offices of Scratchers J. Scratcherton. Scratchers J. Scratcherton, attorney at law. She'll fight for her clients and give injustice the claw. Scratchers J. Scratcherton is not licensed to practice law in any of the 50 states.
There you go.
And that is probably a good thing.
Mm-hmm. She is our in-house legal counsel, though.
She is.
We all do the claw thing.
We do.
It's kind of fun for her.
I know. It's pretty rad. Yeah. Well, good old boy Caperton, would you mind giving us today's beautiful lineup?
I certainly will. I'd be honored to, in fact. The beers we'll be tasting
And discussing for you today are as follows. From Strange Roots, Experimental Ales.
The last episode is creeping in.
It is. We have Balloonist Sour Golden Ale with Orange Peel. Peaches and Dream Sour Ale with Western Pennsylvania Peaches. Sorry, Julie. Goudenacht.
It did.
Farmhouse Ale with apples, orange blossom honey, and coriander.
Dang.
Ragnarok Ale fermented with elderberries, black currants, red raspberries, mind you.
Raspberries, sorry.
And black Jeez. Cherry juice.
Try typing when you're drunk.
Yeah. Well, let's try reading.
Wow.
Queen of the Yellow Dolls, ale fermented with Western Pennsylvania yellow watermelons. Who knew?
Is that a reference to Into the Valley of the Dolls?
I think.
Could be.
Oh, Yellow Dolls. I'm not sure. Anyway. Sure. Thief Share. What do we think? Thieves Share.
Kind of like Angel Share, thief only they're share. Thieves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thieves yeah. Share. It's Barrel thief. Age Flanders Style Ale. Rasmata Berliner Weiss with red rad raspberries.
Oh my. Yeah, they're rad.
And
they
then,
are rad.
And then from the previous incarnation of the brewery, how are we going to pronounce it?
Dry Log.
Okay. Brewery company, we have Havokin Double Belgian Ale.
Nice. Oh,
yummy.
Yum.
Yeah.
So good.
Reverend Mark, would you give us the honor?
First, you know, I have something from the file cabinet of Scratcher J. Scratcherton. Did you know?
My. Do tell.
Cannot imagine.
Did she pass you a paper again?
She did. And did you know one of her clients was a dog who, when he hobbled into the bar on three legs, he said out loud to everyone, "I'm looking for the man who shot my paw."
There you go. Dad jokes all day long.
There it is.
All day long.
There it is, everybody. That just happened.
Yep. Sorry about that. But seriously, folks.
Seriously.
Now let's get serious.
Yeah.
So we'll be discussing and rating these beers with these suds ratings, plus our signature belching sounds. Very rude. Hear how they go. Number one, that really sucks. Give me anything but a bud. Number two, was that a belch? Number three, what a relief. Number four, a body should really not make that sound. And number five, listen to that hang time. Give me another.
Why, thank you.
So inspiring. Evermore.
It is inspiring.
I have another file, but I'll just wait to the next show.
You should file it.
Hey, look. Scratchers works hard for that stuff.
Is that okay. What that is?
Yes.
She does.
She does. I mean, look at her now. She's working harder at her next.
People should be looking for her on Instagram more and more.
Yeah.
She's going to show up.
Yep. I think she's got a plan. Well, before we get to the beer, it's time once again for the master abater himself. Good old boy Caperton bringing us a brand new kudzu report.
All right, folks. I've got an opinion piece this week for you. So, unfortunately, no profiles and courage.
It's okay. We like the word.
Yeah, this is just pure opinion here. So. These are my opinions, and they don't really reflect those of the Sip Suds and Smokes LLC Corporation or those of us here in the basement. But listen, folks, seriously, Kudzu and its availability has proven to be very attractive to those who seek everyday uses for this destructive vine. And I get it. I mean, I get it. It's available and it's out there and it's everywhere. And should we use it or just scorch the ground right underneath it? Well, I have my opinion, but some folks want to try to find uses for it. And a simple internet search can reveal dozens of kudzu-derived products, from woven baskets to biofuels to, that's right, beers. Dave?
What?
There, I could tell. He was amazed. Beers made from kudzu, folks. In fact, a well-esteemed farmhouse brewery near and dear to the Sip Suds and Smokes crew have canned a beer using kudzu blossoms for their grape-like flavors. Yeah.
I've got one.
That's one of my operatives in the field has slid one of those to me. I'm waiting to fortify myself before drinking it. But at any rate, I really feel like we shouldn't be seduced by these attempts at fraternization with the enemy. I'm encouraged by products that are manufactured by eradicated kudzu from an infested site. In other words, if you're going up and you're ripping up kudzu and you're making baskets from it or something, that's fine. But I fear that we will soon begin to cultivate heirloom kudzu or some such horse pucky like that for use in some sort of artisanal kudzu industry pop-up. But we can't do that or allow that, folks. Kudzu can't be given a chance to thrive. We must stay vigilant and continue to bring the fight like a Dalek.
Yes.
This has been good old boy Dave for the Sip Suds and Smokes Kudzu Report. Stay vigilant.
Do not celebrate the sustainability.
That's right. Just kill it. Just get rid of it.
Thank you. That's profound.
You're welcome.
We will be back momentarily. Welcome back, everyone.
That's right.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey.
Okay.
Hey, girl.
So
hey.
We are about to get into this.
Yeah.
I know. I'm like pretty much jumping out of my seat. So we're going to do a brewery takeover of Strange Roots Experimental Ales. Now, my love of Pennsylvania breweries is huge.
Huge.
Huge. If you've been listening
more
than an episode or two, you know my love for my home state. So I have been a fan of Dry Log for many years. You've seen them at Shelton Brothers festivals, and their stuff is great. However, Mr. Hawk and Company, Dennis Hawk.
I was wondering the name of the special dude.
His
Dudenator.
Yes, the Dudenator.
Dennis.
So there was a really cool article about him when he was with Dry Log in Beer Advocate in August of 2016.
What does Dry Log mean?
Well,
isn't that German for third leg? is that why they had to change it to something else? You can't really sell that everywhere. Third leg brewing?
Okay, stop. We're not going to talk about that. What we're going to say is Mr. Hawk is a really cool brewer, and yeah. I wish I could be his best friend because he really thinks outside the box.
My friend.
This is a guy that was brewing before he was like of legal age to be brewing, and he made this nice little arrangement with his mom that he could brew, but he just couldn't drink what he brewed. And then, you know,
his mom drank it all?
Maybe.
You're why mommy drinks.
You know, but if you're making stuff like this, it might be okay.
Mommy's drinking some good beer.
I know. Mommy's doing okay. There's an interesting story in this article, which I thought was kind of cool, which kind of to me sums up Mr. Hawk. Not that I know him or anything, but if I was to know him, he just really thinks outside the box. And he was trying to incorporate theories and ideas that breweries use in Europe and trying to bring it home to Pennsylvania and, you know, do it the Pennsylvania way, if you will. I mean,
in with Scrapple?
Really?
Sorry.
Rude.
I get the meaning here.
But you see what I mean. So this one thing in particular that when I was reading, I thought was pretty cool. He was somehow able to acquire an antique cabinet from a 17th century French monastery. Okay. Now, most people would say, hey, this is a really beautiful antique. I'm going to put it in my dining room or living room, whatever, and utilize it.
No,
but no.
No.
No. Not Mr. Hawk.
No.
He looked at it and he was like, you know what? Maybe there's some way that I can extract yeast cells from the wood.
That's a thing.
And be able to use it in a beer.
Yeah.
And that's what he did. And it's called Relic. And it's
so where did he get the yeast?
From the wood in the cabinet.
So doesn't that mean he thought inside the box?
Thanks for bringing us down, Dave. Thanks for bringing us down.
Yeah, somebody had to do it.
Anyways, this is the kind of guy that we're dealing with. And I'm not talking about good old boy Dave.
It doesn't mean third leg either. It means turncoat.
Yes, exactly. Because no, because he is a descendant of somebody that was a turncoat.
Simon Gerty.
Exactly. Exactly.
A 1700s historical figure for whom Gerty's run, which runs through Millvale.
I think you have to make sure
you
spell it. Draai.
It was.
Double A.
Yeah, it was Draai.
Laag. Laag.
Yes.
Dry lag.
But we're not discussing that now.
Oh, we've moved on.
Yes, we've moved on.
The cabinet. We're in the cabinet.
Well, because he came from strange roots. So,
yes.
There you go.
But I think it's kind of cool because, I mean, when you talk about turncoat, he really was a turncoat because he fought for the Native Americans and he fought against the colonists.
Oh, my.
Yes, which is pretty rad.
That is.
And radical in the scheme of things. Yeah. However,
they probably hung him.
Can we talk about beer?
Yes, we're going to talk about beer now. Thanks
I need
lot.
To drink some beer.
I brought us down with that gallows thing.
Very good.
Sorry. There's a song waiting to happen with that, isn't there?
I bet it didn't end well for Simon, though. I'm just guessing.
Well, maybe not. Maybe not. But his descendant is doing
pretty dang good.
Pretty good. And he did a great job with Dry Log.
Oh,
it's just that when it was formed in 2011...
That long.
I know, that long ago. If you think about it, those type of, you know, spontaneous fermentation and all of those, you know, it wasn't a big thing.
Nope.
It wasn't as trendy as it is now.
Everybody didn't have a cool ship.
No, and if you think about Western Pennsylvania, it's very blue collar and very Iron City and Duquesne and all of that great stuff, but just very plain lagery.
Are we going to do an Iron City show?
No.
That's
we're not.
That's
just
not
just referencing.
Do they have more than one beer?
Iron City Light.
Oh, yeah.
In my face. Wow. Yeah.
So to be in an area, you know, and be that creative in a place that may not quite get it, it probably was a little hard. So the thing about Strange Roots is that they're doing a variety of styles and they're kind of like opening it up more. It's still different. It's still off the beaten path, but there are some decent beers, you know, like normally style beers. Anyways,
normally.
They have an IPA.
They do have an IPA.
Really?
But we're not going to talk about that.
But it's got 27 different varietals.
Okay. So the first beer that we're going to talk about today is actually the last beer that I have from Dry Log. It's not their last, because their last beer was called Dance of Death, which I thought was pretty rad. But it is the Havoken Belgian.
Havoken.
So let's talk about that.
That's German for have a can. That's true. I didn't make that up.
Have a can of beer.
Yeah. It's a double?
Double? Yes, it is a
double. Yep. Is it double or double? What's everybody think?
Double. It depends on which country you're in.
If you're in America, it's double.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm in Murica.
Because we're
I'm gonna say double.
In Paradise, we can mispronounce stuff.
Sure.
It's so, a beautiful beer.
This is 7.4%. Strong, dark, Belgian. This swarthy.
It is swarthy.
Dubel or Dubel. Or yeah, double,
double
is integrated with a distinctly porter-esque roasted quality and their Brett Lambicus yeast strain.
Yeah, so with
an unexpected sherry tart finish.
Yep.
And I get that. I loved about this beer.
So it starts out kind of like with a kind of a cola sort of thing. There's a little sweet caramel, but you get the roast, you get the, you know, you get the kind of the funkiness, and then
cherry Coke going there.
Oh, whoa. Uh-oh.
Look out. Uh-oh. Okay. Did we spill the beer?
Just a little.
Lick it up off the tablecloth. Don't let it go to waste.
I know. Okay.
You were saying, Dave?
Yeah.
I don't know what I was saying. Go ahead.
Cola. Cola-like.
Cola, a little cola, a little cherry cola, maybe.
Yeah, cherry cola.
But it's like the best damn cherry cola you've ever had.
It's good. It's good stuff. It does not taste like 7. It doesn't drink like 7.4.
No, it doesn't. No, that surprised me to hear that. Yeah. It really did.
Yeah. That's a shockingly high ABV for this beer.
It is, because it's very light, but there's so much flavor to it, though. Like, if that makes any sense.
Oh, yeah. It's
crazy.
Beautiful. It's simple, but yet it's complex at the same time. A little bit of raisin. I love what's going on. Yeah.
A little bit of cherry, a little bit of raisin. A little roasty chocolate, maybe. A little
tobacco or something going on there, too.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. Like, and that's the thing about beers like this is, like, you can, the more you talk about it, the more you discuss it, the more, you know, descriptors come out, you know, like different things that people pull out of the flavor of it.
Yeah, and I think the yeast itself gave it then the more the bright fruit aspect rather than if they'd used a more traditional Belgian yeast, it would have been more of a estery.
Yeah,
so that's where I think a lot of that kind of that tart finish comes from. It's really nice. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. What did we rate this beer, Juliana?
We rated the Havokin Belgian Dubel a 5.
I am not surprised.
I think that's the first 5 in a while for a show that
a little
I
bit. Sat in yeah, on. It's been
yeah,
a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
This flight was, I just got to say, so solid. I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not going to see any 2s. Sorry, everybody. No, I don't want to give stuff away.
Spoiler alert.
No.
So the next beer that we're going to talk about is the Balloonist. It is a sour golden ale brewed with orange peel. This is 8.7%.
Jesus.
Could have fooled me again.
So extraordinarily different from the last beer.
So tropical.
Yeah.
Very, very bright.
How much was, what was the ABV on this?
8.7.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And see, like, so it's a big beer like the last one, but they're totally different beers. Yeah. Like 100% different. The last one was very dark and deep in color and you know, very rich in flavor. This one is bright, citrusy.
The exact opposite.
I think it's very delicate in taste. It had just a slight malt edge to it, but it finishes so dry.
But it's got and you said delicate. It's also, it's tart, but just very gently tart.
Mm-hmm.
Just so, and it's easy.
Very lambic-like.
A little bit of citrus kind of floating along on the very top of it. Yeah,
yeah, nice. There is a like balsamic vinegariness to
very
it.
Light.
You know, like
definitely
very lambic, light in the background, but so pretty.
Dang,
oh, gosh,
yeah.
And it's warmed up. I think I want to change my rating. I think it's gotten better.
It may.
No, yeah. I think
bumping,
so too.
We're bumping
I,
it up.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think all of us are going to bump it up.
But I mean, is that just is that just another indicator of the mastery and the touch that, you know, the brewer has on these beers? Is that was a little gassy. That was my belch rating. But like how well this guy handles different fruits, malt blends, and the application of his yeast and cultures.
Yeah.
But here's the thing too is, you know, we're here in the States, so we don't We have some Belgian imports, but it's not like we all live over there, you know, and they've been brewing this style and this range of beers for a bazillion years, yeah. You know, what I think what is really cool about Mr. Hawk is that he is taking that little microcosm of brewery and bringing it here to the States for us to try, yeah. You know, at a local level. And, but there's a lot of love and care that goes into it, which if you think about it, that's what the Belgians have been doing. And that's why they're so proud of their beers that they have overseas.
Have you been to the brewery, Julie?
No.
Have you been here?
I have not. Like no, go, because like it to, was closed when yeah. I went there.
And mm-hmm. I don't think he has a tasting. Maybe he does.
He does. He does.
He's got, yeah. Actually, they have two different tastings.
Yeah. I'd love to see what he's brewing on. I mean, I would.
Because I mean, it's really, it feels yeah. very authentic.
It really does.
And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I like to see those cool ships.
Just, I can't say enough good stuff about these beers.
Yeah.
Mr. Hawk, we're coming to visit you.
Yeah.
Be prepared.
Yeah. Whether you want it or not.
I know.
Here we come.
So, the Balloonist.
The Balloonist.
I think we're going to make it.
Yeah. Let's go ahead.
It's a 5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure.
Dadgum, man. This really doesn't happen.
No,
yeah,
no.
This is a rare.
We really jumped
I'm glad,
up on that.
I'm glad to be yep. here. I'm telling yeah. you.
I know. It's crazy. It's yeah. crazy. So now something that's a little different, but still quite yummy.
Okay.
Reverend Mark. Oh, sorry.
That's what they all say.
He's so yummy.
That's what I've been told.
So now we're going to talk.
But I had to deny it.
You know, to maintain his reputation.
That's right.
Now we're going to talk about Peaches and Dream, which is a sour ale that is fermented with Western Pennsylvania peaches.
Mm. That's where they grow the best Pennsylvania peaches in the Western Pennsylvania.
West side, yeah.
Really?
That's what they say.
That's all I know.
That's what they say. Okay. I don't know who they are.
So I will tell you this. This is a peachy beer.
It is.
I
mean, so peachy.
The aroma to me is like overripe peach. And then when you get the flavor, it's not overripe, but it is perfectly ripe peach.
Oh, jeez.
With just a little bit of the tartness.
Yep, it's tart.
It reminds me again of a peach lambic.
Yeah,
it does. A lot of these beers sort of have that common thread.
When it was colder, I was getting a little more apricot. But as it warms up, it's definitely peachy.
Yeah, rounded out. Yep. Yeah.
For sure.
This reminds me of... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say this reminds me of something you would get from New Glarus or another one of those breweries where you're used to seeing how well they use fruits.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know? Right.
Sure. So and this...
The fruit yeast, I mean, it's just unbelievable here.
So this is 7% ABV and...
Get out of here. Really?
Again, I know.
Yeah.
I know. So... What he says on the label is we just don't believe in supporting local farms. We depend on them. Our beers are brewed for freshness and quality using fruit yeast and bacteria local to Western Pennsylvania. The Farm to Fermentation series is a celebration of seasonal agriculture and unique regional growing conditions, which I'm sure is exactly the same kind of thing that they do overseas, you know, in the scheme of things. And that's why there's all those beer styles that we love and adore so much.
Yeah.
So what do you think, Juliana?
It is profoundly beautiful. So first off, the color on it, you get that slight hint of peachness to it, you know, and then you smell and it draws you right in. And this is like what Crooked Staves Cherry Mama's Cherry Pie is in a peach universe. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
So if it was Mama's Peach Pie?
Yeah, it would be this because it's biscuity. It's got that slight little, you know, yeastiness that you get from a really good peach that is like a really fresh peach.
Mm-hmm.
And the aroma, it's intoxicating.
Mm,
at the pureness of the peach, but it's not sweet. It's just, it's
almost
pure.
Like a peach liqueur in the aroma, you know, like,
sure.
Like it's just in really enhanced peach.
Sure. But I'm getting like an almost tinge of like lactosey creaminess to it.
Yeah, there is.
You know, so it's really like it's a bridge between a pie and an ice cream, if that makes any sense.
Ooh, pie a la mode.
Yeah, like
just a pie ice cream bridge.
I like that. It's really, it's just
wow. I'm imagining walking across that bridge right now.
Yeah, right.
What happened is I ate the bridge as I was walking across it and I fell in.
Oh gosh.
Sorry. Well, and for those that enjoy those artificial peaches and cream ice creams, this is not that at all. No, this is a grown-up version, but it's just so pretty.
I get the skin, peach skins as well, sort of.
Yeah, having that almost that yeasty characteristic to it.
I guess so.
What did you, what did we rate this beer?
We rated it a 4.
Boom.
I can't say enough.
I know.
Sorry. I had to take another sip. Okay, so now we're going to talk about the Gutenaut. The farmhouse ale with apples, orange blossom, honey, and coriander.
Apple, spice, and everything nice.
It really is. This one is 8.5%.
It's amazing that they're making these beers so big.
Crazy.
Great flavor, and it's not boozy at all.
Not at all.
I thought this was totally quaffable.
Super dangerous. Yeah.
Quaffable.
Yeah, the apple notes on this are just beautiful.
Well, we'll finish discussing this beer and many more in a few minutes. Welcome back, everyone. So, we are in the middle of discussing a brewery takeover.
Yes.
Strange Roots Experimental Ales.
We are taking your
From, I guess, technically Millvale, Gibsonia, Pennsylvania.
There you go.
Otherwise known as Western Pennsylvania.
WPA.
Pittsburgh.
Yeah, WPA. So the beer that we started discussing before the break was the Gutenaut, which is really cute because it's got these little guys that are at the campfire and it's anyways. It is a farmhouse ale brewed with apples, orange blossom, honey, and coriander. So it's Dutch for good night. The one of a kind Gutenaut is influenced by elements of mead, cider, and beer styles. And I could totally see that. Yeah. This innovative integration gets a lift from juicy tropical aromas and the Brett Klosanoi used in fermentation.
Kaboom. Kaboom.
the apple nose on this is just so intense.
It follows right over. I mean, there's a little bit of tropical sort of fruitiness as well as the apple, but it follows right in.
And the crispness on this too, it's like a cider meets a champagne meets a mead.
You know, these are the kind of beers I like multiple bottles of so that I can shelve a few and see how the Brett really changes over a period of time. Because I bet with a few months on it, this beer is just...
So they should probably send us a case. That way
we could, I like the way you're thinking, Dave.
We could look at it over time.
We have you here.
Yeah,
we could
study it. You know, this is science. We want to study it over time. Yeah. What did we
staged research? I call it.
What did we rate this beer there, Juliana?
Oddly, we rated this a 4, but
I personally gave it a 5.
Yeah, I'm almost inclined. As this is warmed, it's just.
We're gonna push to a 5. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah, okay. We're going 5.
Okay. We bumped I'm okay it. With I'm
last
okay
minute.
That.
Last minute editorial decision there.
Is it just a love fest?
What's next, buddy?
This guy should be here. You know, this would be like so affirming to hear us.
I know. He's like.
You like me. You really like me.
They really do.
He's a Zebulon of Pennsylvania. It's like so cool.
What's our next?
Okay. We're going to talk about Ragnarok.
Oh, that was good. That last taste was good. Oh, shoot. Oh, this was good.
Ragnarok I know. So it has elderberries.
Your father smells elderberries.
Whoa.
Oh.
Don't make me come over there. Uh-oh. All right.
Well, we know this is a beer that good old boy Mike would not like.
So it has elderberry, black currant, red raspberries, and black cherry juice.
Yes. Yep. Yes, it does.
Yep.
This beer is 8.1%.
Jeez.
I know.
I can't believe how big these beers are.
So, borrowing the Norse term for the end of the world, the Ragnarok is equal parts strong ale, Scottish ale, and Viking metal concert.
There you go.
Scottish ale. That's interesting.
Yeah. Mm. It's dark. It's smoky. It's a little on the dirty side.
Yeah.
It's a fruit-based fermentation that starts out with a complex sour edge and mellows over time. The earthiest, peatiest, best kind of dirty there is.
I didn't really think about smoky or peaty until they said it.
I'm not getting a lot of it. The fruit just...
It's kind of there if now that you know it's there, but that could be just be the power of suggestion.
Yeah.
I'm getting all the fruits there.
Yeah, there is a weird earthiness that I could probably attribute to peatiness.
Yeah. I think I got more of the dark fruits fused in such a way where I got a little, just a slight tannic edge, but it's in a good way. Kind of kind of like a dry Zinfandel or something, you know? But just barely, not overly.
Yeah.
I don't get the Scottish ale as much. I mean, I don't get. I don't
well, that
get
was
that
the
part
thing. I wonder if they're thinking there's some peaty, smoky, or you know, you know. The other thing with Scottish ales too is like they're very malty and
I think
sweet.
It's the maltiness of this that maybe he's referring to or they're referring to because there is a malty backbone to it. But on the smell.
Yeah.
I am smelling a little bit of peat, you know, but then again, I've got a heightened sensitivity to peat since Isla's where I live with whiskey.
You and Pete have been friends for a long time.
Good old
so.
Pete.
Oh, we have. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
She loves Pete. He's her best friend.
He is my best
friend. And I think
also
Scottish ales are known to be slightly under attenuated, and all of these beers are very well attenuated.
Yeah, right.
They are. They are. And that's another thing.
True that.
For all of these different styles that we've been tasting, they're all like, I mean, on the money.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. On the money, which is, it's a gorgeous color too.
Very well made.
I mean, they have achieved their final gravity.
Yeah. This guy knows his game.
God, this beer is.
Chocolate covered cherries would I get a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. 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 Just those really deep berry flavors. And that dark black cherry juice. That stuff is really right in there.
What because that like right there on the end is where you taste the cherries.
Exactly.
But you know, for red raspberries can be like so acidic and so overwhelming.
Sure.
This is like really nicely balanced.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hats off on the blending.
But
here.
The elderberries are nice too because you get that kind of that wild sweetness.
Mm-hmm. Mm. We rated this a 5.
Okay. Oh yeah. Good, good.
Heck yeah, we did.
Good. I was afraid we didn't.
Have no fear,
I was
going to
lobby for a field promotion.
Oh, my God. Star Trek and Dennis Hawk. This is, sure.
And now they're a boy Caperton.
Now we're down to 3.
And now there were 3.
And now we're down to 3. So let's talk about the coolest name ever.
Okay.
The Queen of the Yellow Dolls. Queen of the Yellow Dolls.
Ooh, wowza.
This beer, it
it's as bright as a summer day, I'm telling you.
What do you guys get from the aroma?
Watermelon rind.
Yeah, it's other funky thing.
A little
too,
bit of kind of funky medicinal sort of almost. It's yeah, but still a lot of watermelon
super,
going on there.
Super
yeah.
funky.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm sitting in a trailer park.
In Canada?
But in a good sense.
In Canada Tennessee?
A nice trailer park.
A nice trailer park, and I've just busted open a watermelon that I just stole from down the street.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, there is.
And you know, stolen watermelons taste the best.
They do taste the best.
Gonna eat it with some pet rabbit.
Grab it and run, you know?
Oh, my God. Okay, so this is 7% ABV.
That's about right.
Yeah. And this is another one where it's a seasonal.
Holy cow.
And yellow watermelons. Okay.
Whatever that is.
So this has like, you know, it obviously has the funk and the sour.
Yep.
But there's also like a little bit of that vegetal flavor to it as well, you know, which you would expect when you're dropping a buttload of yellow watermelon into a beer.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
This reminds me of that. The one that came to mind was the Paradox.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm.
And that they pull this off. It's different than what the Paradox tastes. The Paradox was a little bit more salty, but it's really, really there.
Yeah. That Paradox watermelon beer was the best watermelon beer I've ever had. And I think
the one everyone judges.
Yeah. Right. I think this can give it a run for its money.
Yep.
Yeah.
It totally can, but it's a totally it's a different flavor, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like this is
again. This is more lambic like. It's more complex, I think, than because the Paradox was a Berlin. What was it? It wasn't a Berliner. It was.
I think it was just
a Goza. Wasn't it a Goza? Salty, I think they just called salty, it like an American, salty melons or something.
Yeah, it was salty.
That's
melons.
What it was called.
Yeah, yeah.
But I almost feel like this almost has like a watermelon wine.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. There's just all these beers have so much going on.
Because it's so fruit forward. Like the beer part is almost pushed to the side a little bit, but it's not a bad thing.
You know, a lot of the breweries I really like, their beers are somewhat subtle and they don't really push the complexity super hard.
Yeah.
All these beers are just phenomenal.
They challenge
you. There's a lot going on. It's just an interesting thing to drink and taste. Your mind is just racing, when you drink this stuff.
Well, that's like, with people, like if you have a big personality, people either love you or hate you.
Yeah.
There's no middle ground with beers.
Yeah.
Hey.
There's no middle ground with good old boy Caperton either.
That's right.
There is like an antiseptic-ness to this, but there's also this
a little bit of medicinal quality.
I feel like I'm in a garden.
Yeah.
Like, because I smell like I'm in a garden. I know this is going to sound really weird, but like, pumpkins have these flowers on them, turns into the pumpkin.
Yeah.
And I'm smelling that. Like,
a little bit of floral sort of like.
Yeah. This is like one of those sensory things that's taken me right to my grandmother's garden.
Mm-hmm. It's really crazy. Mm-hmm.
I know it is, but it's so cool.
Like squash blossoms.
Yeah. That's what I was.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, not pumpkin, but squash. You're right.
Fried squash blossoms are
good.
There
you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
What did we rate this dog?
We rated this beautiful thing a 5.
Yeah. Believe it.
What's next?
Moving right along.
We are going to the Thief Share.
The Thief Share. Mm-hmm. Thieves Share or Thief Share?
Thief
Share.
Thief. Yes.
Thief. Singular.
Just one thief.
One thief.
Share. At least that we know of.
Yeah.
So it's where the thieves get together and share stuff, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
In their greediness.
That.
Yeah.
I like that.
So this is a barrel-aged Flanders style ale.
Oh, yes, it is.
8.9%.
Christ.
Mm.
Yeah.
How many? What'd you say?
8.9.
Dang, man.
I know.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Nobody in Flanders makes a beer this big.
No, probably
and
not.
And it really doesn't. Like, if anything, I thought this beer was a little light.
I did too. And it's not very viscous.
Right.
Like you would think.
It's good, though.
It's very good.
It's
tricky.
So this is an old stock. It's an old stock brown ale.
Okay.
That is aged for 3 to 4 years.
Yep.
And then hand selected for its soft acidity and flavors of dark chocolate, raisin, oak, and black currants. Then blended with a young stock red ale, which has been aged for 1 to 2 years.
Mm. There you go.
Yep.
He's doing it. He's brewing like a monk.
So he really is. Yep. I mean.
But that's exactly like it's described exactly as what it is, though. I mean,
My first taste of this, I didn't even know anything about it. It's like, that is a beautiful oud brewing.
Yeah.
Kendall
nailed it.
Notes of some Flanders red in it, too. It's a really nice mashup.
But you get the raisin, you get the chocolate.
I get some of the barrel vanilla
A
little bit.
Yeah, I do too. And, for an oud brewing, this is right in the. Right in the ballpark.
Wheelhouse.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's not overly acidic. It's
That's the best thing about it.
8.9. God.
I mean, in my notes, I said, I would drink a pint of this. And now that I know the ABV, I said, I'll go back to a little sniffer.
But you know what, though? Like, on those old brews, like, a lot of times, their jaw clenchers.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I get a yeah. burn in that. Absolutely. I can't.
I know. Yeah. They're almost too balsamic-y.
Yeah. Yeah, I right. love yeah. the flavor and I love the taste, but it hurts me to drink them.
Yeah.
This one, there's no pain.
Just a beautiful balance.
Which frightens
here.
Me yeah. because I get, it's like it's too good. I could drink yeah. a lot of this yeah. and probably have to lay down outside the brewery once I...
Yeah. Okay.
Sounds, like you usually good. Do.
Well, yeah, but this one I'd have sweet dreams.
There you go. Good knock.
Wow. This one
very well
that's
played.
That's cute. This one we rated a 4.
A 4.
All right.
Sure.
Now, I don't know if this is the best for last or it's just
Last.
It is just last. But it's still pretty dang good. Again, probably another beer that good old boy Mike would not like, but you know what? That's more for us.
It makes it better.
He's not here, mm-hmm. so
yeah.
so much raspberry.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're talking about now is the Razzmatazz.
Razzmatazz.
Which is a Berliner Weiss
wow.
with raspberries.
Yep.
You know, the raspberry was so pronounced that, I mean, in a good, and not overly like a big fruit bomb kind of pronounced, but I just, it was like you could taste the fuzz, that really fine fuzz on yeah. on the raspberry.
Yep.
It was just, I felt like I was eating a little bit of fruit along with this. It was great.
I do not think this is a kettle soured Berliner.
No, not at all. No.
It's nice to drink a Berliner that someone actually spent the time.
This is almost like this is almost like a Berliner Weiss with the syrup.
Yeah.
You know, like where they make the actual syrup.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
A nice raspberry syrup. And that is so natural. I've been actually eating a lot of raspberry Talente Sorbetto lately.
Mm. Oh, wow.
The number one ingredient on the ingredient list is raspberries.
Okay, you are like good. The fanciest person I know.
Yeah. Hey, Publix had it on sale. And the raspberry flavor in that is very similar to this.
Was it a BOGO? Buy one, get one?
It absolutely was.
Ooh.
But the fruit... The brightness of it, the freshness of it. It's just, it's like eating real raspberries right off the vine.
It's pretty
phenomenal. And this is what Berliners should be.
Sure.
I mean,
sure.
Whether it's with a raspberry or with an apricot or a lime or.
Woodruff syrup.
Yes. Woodruff, I mean,
that was good.
This is a really good way to.
Simple sour end. Beer that pushes the flavor forward.
What did we give this beer?
We rated this one a 4.
Yeah.
Well, sadly, this is going to do it for today.
Such a great lineup.
Yep.
That might be one of the best flights we've had.
Can I have another, please?
Sure. Yes. I know. Sure. This was really great stuff. So you can always find us where you found this episode, as well as radio, satellite, online at iTunes, Google Podcast, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and nearly any place you listen to a podcast. The easiest way to find the show on your phone is to ask Alexa, Siri, or Google, play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes.
And it is definitely true that we love your feedback, and you can always reach us online at info@sipssudsandsmokes.com.
And by the way, our daily tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram every day at Sip Sud Smoke, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news.
If you're listening online, please take the time to rate this show 5-star.
Go to what, Kendall? Please tell us about your blog.
My beautiful wife and I blog about the good news of good beer at beermakes3.com, also on Instagram.
Good old boy, Dave.
5 stars. Hey, follow me on Instagram at good old boy Dave. You know, at good old boy Dave.
Wow. Okay, then.
We lost him.
I forgot who I was.
He's in the woods.
He's had a lot of beer.
He's in the woods.
I guess so. Good old boy Kendall.
Cheers. It was a pleasure being here. Go Bucks.
Good old boy Caperton.
Nice to be here as always. Love you guys. Stay vigilant.
Reverend Mark.
Hey, don't believe what they tell you about me, but I will.
It's true. It's all true.
It's been solid. Can't wait to come back.
Mr. Hawk, I want to be your best friend ever.
She wants to be your bestie.
It's a new Bob Sylvester.
Yes.
Yeah.
A different version of Bob.
Same Bob.
Well, thanks for joining us, everyone. Keep on chugging and catch you next time.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your hosts, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.